All right, let's talk about my password is strong. So sending Bobbo's secret recipe. Bobbo makes the best pizza dough anywhere, and Bomino's wants to buy it. But Gary Gluten out here sitting says, Bobbo, just send it to me because I need it today for the closing. But Bobbo says, if I send you the secret recipe, will email be safe? I don't want to lose the recipe. Gary says, hey, I use a commercial-grade ISP. I've never been hacked. I use a strong password. So he wants your opinion on whether or not he should use email to send that stuff back. Oh, what's the standard of care for transmitting sensitive information over the internet? Does Gary not need to consider special safeguards under the current law, right? Gary should never send highly confidential information over the internet. Gary can accept the highly confidential by having Bobbo sign a waiver of damages, or Gary has a duty to discuss safeguards and alternatives whenever highly sensitive info is transmitted. I think you can figure out the answer because you're the A group. The best answer is D. You should always discuss with your client what they want. That's the best inoculation against a grievance, saying, okay, what do you want me to use to transmit the sensitive information? There's a great formal opinion, 477R. I won't take all the time to explain it, but it's easily downloadable, and it goes through all the factors that you need to consider and then how you implement those factors. And it's really a very good opinion. It says, basically, you need to consider the sensitivity information, the likelihood of disclosure if you don't use those additional safeguards, the cost of employing those additional safeguards, the difficulty of implementing them, or the extent which those safeguards adversely affect, oh, you've got to look at this, and then you have to unlock this with a key, and then you have to do this. Okay, that's not going to be manageable. You can tell your client, of course, and again, as the A group, you already know this, look, if you want me to use special encryption software, you pay for that software and I'll put it on my machine to do your stuff. Now, who does that all the time? The insurance defense lawyers. And it's caused a huge, well, according to the lawyers practicing, it says a huge problem because every single insurance company has different encryption software. You know, Safeguard is different from Allstate, is different from State Farm, is different from, and the good thing is no one ever pays anyway. So the cost of employing it. So listen, so to guard against it, you have to follow these steps. Understand the nature of the threat. How sensitive is it? What protections are warranted? Understanding how your firm stores that sort of information. Understand and use reasonable electronic security measures. We all know, and that's when I give a speech on cybersecurity, which I'm doing by webcast to the Boston Bar today at 4 o'clock, I talk about, the three things everybody ought to do, and you already know this because you work with computers and IP, is that make sure your automatic updates are, you've got your firewall, you've got those things set, because a lot of lawyers don't even know to turn those things on their computer, and determine how electronic communications should be put. Put simply, ask your client what they'd like to do. Label client information as confidential. If you're using paper files, which fewer and fewer lawyers do, although those of us older, we still like having some paper files. We label it as confidential information and train your lawyers and non-lawyer assistants. Now, that always sounds very, you know, difficult. Oh, how do we implement a privacy policy? Well, let me give you, and of course, every state, well, I say every state, probably I can say North Dakota doesn't have a privacy policy because they don't have CLE. But basically, what is an effective privacy policy? Here's how simple it is. And I always, and the estate planners are really pretty good at this. So I used to ask for a show of hands, how many of your legal assistants, paralegals, secretaries, whatever the support staff you call, could raise their hand and say, I have been trained in privacy policies? And it used to be like 2 people out of 500. Well, now it's more. But what is an effective privacy policy? It's simply this. I have trained my staff on what SPI, sensitive private information, you know, HIPAA, all those categories are, and here is the rule in my law firm. It doesn't leave unless you ask my permission. That's an effective privacy policy. It requires you to know the law, but basically, if you get the 5 basic categories of sensitive information, train your staff on any of this stuff, if another party, you know, contractor, insurance company wants any of this stuff, come ask me first. That's your privacy policy in a nutshell. Conduct due diligence on vendors providing communication technology. One of the things we always joke about is, you know, office Wi-Fi. Never let your 15-year-old set up the Wi-Fi because they'll do it with the password that comes with the box, and that's available online. So if you have the codex number 123A, you can go online. What's the company pad? What's the manufacturer password? And it'll give it to you. Always make sure that somebody sets it up and you set up a WEP private channel for your communications or even your clients. Just about every router nowadays has settings where you can do multiple channels. All right. Part two, whose money is this anyway? It is an amazing thing that I give this big talk about trust accounting around the country. And of course, it's a little bit different, but apparently they're not teaching anything about trust accounting because it's a huge problem that lawyers don't know what the rules are about when you put money in trust, when you take it out, how you take it out, and how you pay bills, of your client in the safest ways possible. So it's becoming a real deal where I probably give a trust accounting CLE twice a month now because it's not. So let's talk about this. All right, the settlement comes in. Gracie settles Archibald's big case, but the settlement funds are now in her IOLTA trust account.